Hi, and welcome back to another Blog Talk radio broadcast for Visit Julian. Today we're super excited. We've got Moonshine Magic Tommy to come and talk about what he offers, the cool store he has located in Julian Station. Welcome, Tommy.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So the whole purpose of these Blog Talk radio interviews is basically to let people know what there is to see in Julian. And you're fairly new to Julian. So if someone hasn't been here in a while, they may not know about your store. And let's let them know about your store. Let's talk about it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm new to Julian. So we just had our two-year anniversary on purchasing our house. And I just had the one-year anniversary in September of opening Moonshine Magic. And Moonshine Magic, as Robin mentioned, is located inside the Julian Station. I'm right next to Julian Hard Cider, one of my favorite places.
That's a good thing, right?
And I sell crystals, rocks, minerals, and candles and essential oil blends. The candles and oils are from two artist friends of mine that I'm very familiar with, not only the integrity of their crafting skills, but also the energy that they put into their work. And when I saw the space empty at the station, I just saw it full of rocks.
Oh, like you imagined how it was going to be.
Right, yeah. Right. And so that's what inspired me to focus more on rocks. I was working on actually a larger plan for a bigger store, probably in East County somewhere. And then COVID hit.
Right. Yeah, you opened your store during COVID.
During COVID.
Yeah.
And so I had to pare down the vision. And, mm-hmm. and so what I went for was something tightly focused. Mm-hmm. Very tightly focused. The two artists I wanted to feature, and then just rocks. Mm-hmm. So we've got stuff in there for the rock collector, mm-hmm. specimen pieces, anyone looking for energy pieces. So mm-hmm. things for changing working with energy in their space or that kind of work, or people that are just looking for stuff that's pretty for home decor.
I was just going to say, what about pretty stuff? Yeah, I like pretty stuff.
Yeah, pretty for home decor.
Yeah, and for those who are listening, there'll be a slideshow of your store on the description of the show so people can see your store. There's photos of you and the entry so they'll know exactly what they're looking for when they get to Julian Station. I have heard through social media, other people who've been to your store, and they talk about how accommodating you are and how interested you are in what they're, maybe they don't even know what they're looking for. So I don't want to say that how interested you are in what they're looking for, but how interested you are in what they're trying to achieve and then helping to accommodate that by suggesting things.
Right. Well, I'm a terrible salesperson.
Me too.
And here I am with a retail shop.
Yeah.
But for me, it's about my passion.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And so, like I said, I was working on a larger store idea with the Small Business Development Center down in San Diego. Very professional.
Right.
Business plan, like all
right.
of that, like,
yeah.
you know, serious
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
But when I opened up Moonshine Magic here at the station, and focused it on rocks primarily, mm-hmm. and then, like I said, the two artist friends. What I realized is my mom had a rock garden when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
and they were all fairly, medium to large size rocks. Each mm-hmm. one had a story mm-hmm. of where she was at in her life when she got that rock and all those things. And I was pretty little, and I used to have her tell me the stories. And that set up a passion for mm-hmm. rocks for me. And so I had a passion. Since I was a kid, I would leave the house, come home with rocks in my pocket.
Sure. Not frogs, but rocks.
Not rocks. Maybe a frog or two.
Oh, goodness.
And then it was a secret passion to maybe be a rock vendor, but I didn't mm-hmm. think that it would be conducive to any sort of workable lifestyle. I figured
right.
I'd be living out of a van,
right.
up to a dirt spot, pulling my table out
right.
and
selling your rocks.
and so I never thought I was pursuing it, and then here I was sitting at the shop and realizing how these passions had come together. So when people come into the shop, I think that's what they're picking up on,
right.
is I'm really passionate about what I'm doing. I don't have a degree in rocks. It's been a lifelong journey of learning.
Is there such a thing as a degree in rocks?
There can be a gemological degree studying to be a rock hound and cutting and doing different things like that. Uh-huh. So I don't have those skills, but I have acquired a bit more knowledge, and I've got books that are available behind me that I can look things up if people have questions. And I just kind of let people go.
Yeah.
Just kind of let them wander the shop. It's not that big, so they can do that easily. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my biggest suggestion for folks with rocks is like, let your intuition guide you. Because even if you're just looking for something pretty, pretty really is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, we've all heard that.
Sure.
And so when you see a rock and you see it and you see it visually, that it's appealing, you feel it's pretty, these are all going to be positive feelings that you get when you look at that rock. And at a base level, that's really all there is.
Yeah. When I used to do, on a regular basis, vision boarding, which is through magazines, and you pull the pages out, and they tell you not to think too much about it.
Right.
Grab what grabs you.
Right.
And so I can relate that to when you're, you know, visualizing things. You see something and it grabs you, then you grab it, and you use it towards, you know, your vision. So that's probably the same thing.
Exactly. Because those images, whether you're looking at a rock or you're smelling a candle or an oil or something, those are all connecting with our senses and creating feel-good feelings.
Right.
And those get triggered into the brain and kind of get locked in.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a little minor, but every time you turn to that, it's going to bring those things back up.
Yeah, it's like almost what you're saying reminds me of, I've got pictures, we did a remodel, so I have very few pictures on my wall of my kids. Mm-hmm. And still, some of them have been up for years, and as soon as I walk by them, I smile.
Right.
So it's that same thing. You put things in place that bring you joy just when you pass by them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's really cool. I saw on some of your information about semi-precious and precious beaded stuff. Are you still doing that?
I am. Now, the space, like I mentioned, is kind of small.
Sure.
And I set up a little back room. There's rabbit ear quotes around that. and figured that I could do some jewelry, making beaded necklaces from that space. And it didn't quite work as well. Mm-hmm. It's a little too tight.
Sure.
So I'm working at home to create crafting space for myself there. So currently I have two necklaces, but I do have beaded bracelets. Mm-hmm. I was able, really lucky, within my first year to settle in with a guy, it's a rock vendor, it's a wholesaler, that has contracts with 23 different mines, and he also owns production now.
Oh, wow.
So all the stones that I get from him are ethically sourced, and all of the stuff that has made the bracelets I get from him, all the cutting and polishing and all that stuff, is also fair trade, which is really good in my industry because that's not the norm. So the bracelets that I get from him, he can guarantee the strength of the elastic that he uses, which is something with the elastic I have from when I made bracelets. I was always a little unsure, even though I got the best I could find.
Sure.
And I know that it's good.
Yeah.
He can give a guarantee. I can pass that guarantee on.
Right.
So I'm carrying his bracelets. I've got some chip necklaces because those are always fun. And they also look pretty in the display. It's like a waterfall of stones. I love that.
Oh, cool.
But I will be getting back to making some more necklaces. I don't do any of the silversmithing. So if I have pendants on necklaces, then that means I stumbled on a good deal or saw something that I just couldn't pass up that I wanted to create with. But I will be getting back to that. And then I also have some products that I have made historically that are waiting. All the materials are waiting in boxes for me to get the space to make.
Yeah, and space is everything, especially with your passion and vision. It's like the space to create needs to be there to help you be creative.
Right.
You know, you can't create in a closet, a dark space. So I totally get that. So we'll look forward to that. Yeah. And can you talk a little bit about crystals?
Sure.
What do you know? What do you have? What should I look for if I want a crystal?
Well, my two biggest sellers, I would say, and that's not because, you know, if we think of marketing, they're not big sellers because of like a marketing kind of thing. It's what most people are drawn to are amethyst and rose quartz, which makes a lot of sense. Amethyst is a good stone It's one of the few that transmutes, meaning whatever energy it happens to take in, it transmutes that into positive energy. So it only puts out positive energy.
Oh, cool.
So it's a wonderful stone for spaces to have on your person or any kind of that. It's going to create comfortable, positive space. So it's a good space cleanser. Rose quartz, everyone knows of rose for love. I like to say it's more self-love than like romantic love. Sure. So I like to call it the hug stone.
Oh, cool.
And so it's one of those stones that's it's good for compassion, that self-love, and connecting with yourself. So it's like that personal hug. And so those are the two really good ones that a lot of people are drawn to the most. And then you can go to your black stones. Mm-hmm. All of your black stones are going to be good for protection against negative energy because black absorbs. And black tourmaline, which we have a lot of up here in Julian, unfortunately, I'm not digging around my yard and pulling up all the black quartz.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome, but I probably would never make it down to the shop because I'd have holes all over my yard.
Sure.
But black tourmaline is one of the better ones for protection against negative energy because it doesn't just absorb it and hold it, it pulls it apart because of the way that tourmaline grows. So it's the crystalline structure of how it grows and resonates here with Julian because we've got a plethora of black tourmaline
That's awesome.
Right under our feet.
Wow, that's awesome. And you were talking about two artists that you feature. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what each one of them brings to your shop?
Sure. So I have Rosarium Blends, and Ketamara, the owner and crafter, creates her own custom essential oil blends, and I also have her incense. She does loose incense custom blends. And so the incense, people that may not be familiar with loose incense, I also have charcoal. So you burn it and light a charcoal tablet, and once it starts to glow, then you sprinkle the incense on it to burn the incense. But she also has studied historic magical alchemy, which I think is really cool. That's the precursor to science, actually. And she's researched the history around different plants and their historical uses and oils and such, and brought it into current time and uses that inspiration in crafting her own recipes.
That sounds super great.
So, yeah, it's really awesome. So it's very academic on that on the research side, but also very intuitive in how she takes that research and then crafts her own recipes with that.
That's super awesome.
So yeah, I love her stuff and her oils. They are complex. You'll get a lot of top notes, so those are the volatiles that you'll smell right away, and then the bottom notes kind of come in after, so that the scents change a little bit as you wear them. They're wearable, or you can put them on surfaces or do different things.
It's
they're
so funny, because that was going to be my next question. Because I made a mistake, and you need to pay attention in general as a person, of what oils are good for your body. I put patchouli in the bathtub. Not a good idea. I started with, and then I was out of the bathtub. So I'm glad that you mentioned that they're definitely wearable.
Right, and these are not the straight essential oils. They're essential oil blends in a carrier oil, so that also makes them easier. You're not putting a straight essential oil on your skin. And the ones that I got are in roller bottles.
They have
roller tops. Because they are wearable. So all of these have been researched that they are safe to wear on the skin. None of them you would want to ingest. It's never a good idea, really, to ingest essential oils, regardless of what companies say. Do your own research. Most of them are toxic because they're concentrated. So with the roller tops, it lets people know that these are, in fact, wearable.
Great.
And we have a long history with wearing oils and fragrances and how those create emotional responses. So whether we're doing a magical thing or we're just doing that relationship to scent, because it's one of our big senses. And so that helps to emote and create and spin up good feelings or introspective feelings or all these kinds of things.
For me with fragrance, since you're talking about being wearable, I always put my fragrance on the back of my shoulder. And the reason is because in Julian, it's a small town, and you always run into someone who wants to hug you. So I always put my fragrance on the back of my shoulder so that when someone smells or hugs me, they smell, you know, something nice.
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
That's my little tip. Put it on the back of your shoulder if you're a hugger.
I love that.
It's just a point every morning.
I love that idea. Yeah, I'm going to share that.
Good. I'm glad. And then your second
artist. And then the second one is Coventry Creations Candles. Mm-hmm. Her candles are quite well known across the country, a lot of different places. I believe I'm the only vendor in California mm-hmm. that is focusing more on her candles. Mm-hmm. But there are some places that you can find in some parts of San Diego that may have a few.
Sure.
So I'm not exclusive. But the owner, Jackie Smith, is a friend of mine. Like mm-hmm. I had mentioned that both of these individuals are people that I know personally, mm-hmm. which was really important for
sure.
me.
Sure. Yeah.
I want to know them not only because of the integrity of their craft, but all the energies that are mm-hmm. they're putting into it, because mm-hmm. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Because our frames of mind when we're making things that we're then going to pass off to other people, I think is important, because we leave residual bits behind. Like sure. when you give a gift, if you were in a bad mood when you gave that gift is not necessarily going to be as received as well
right.
as when you are in a great mood mm-hmm. and you're inspired to get a gift and pass on a gift.
On, right.
It's a whole different energy.
Totally get it. As a quilter, I totally get that.
Right.
That,
and each stitch, is yeah. you've got to be mindful.
And you're thinking of the person while you're
right.
making it. And,
right.
You know, and if you make a little oops, then you really focus.
Right, exactly.
So let's talk, as we wind up, a little bit about where people can find you.
Sure.
I will, on the description, I will have your social media and that kind of stuff. But let's talk about your location, just parking, all that stuff that
right.
and your hours, that kind of stuff. So people can really have success in getting to you.
Okay. Well, because we're in the mountains, for folks that live up here, we know that addresses can sometimes get a little weird.
Sure.
So mapping to them sometimes can get a little weird. Mm-hmm. The address for Julian Station is 4470, and it's right on Highway 78, but there are also two other additional names for Highway 78.
Right, like Julian Road or
Julian
something.
Road, yeah. And sometimes it can kind of mess with mapping.
Mm-hmm.
It had me pinned in the Atlantic Ocean on my Facebook for some reason for a long time. So Julian Road fixed that. I don't know why. But if you follow where Julian Hart Cider is located, mm-hmm. you can't miss me.
Right.
I'm, like I said earlier, I'm right next door to them mm-hmm. inside what's a historical apple barn.
Mm-hmm.
It was apple processing barn. Mm-hmm. And so inside the Julian Station is where I'm located, and there are other shops, antiques, and some soaps and body care things mm-hmm. and some wood crafts. As well as Julian Hard Cider Tasting Room, the Julian Wine and Chocolate Tasting mm-hmm. Room, and the Julian Beer Cooler.
Yeah.
Craft Brew.
Yeah, the cooler,
rooms.
The tap room, yeah.
So if you look for the tasting rooms, you're going to find me. and for me, that's one of the major fortunate things that, mm-hmm. that I have in the location where I'm at, is I have the benefit of those tasting rooms. Mm-hmm. It brings a lot of people in. So I'm incredibly grateful. I'm grateful for Albert for allowing me to take a space there.
Mm-hmm.
What he's creating, I think, is really wonderful, and I like being a part of it. It's like walking into like an old Western little village town.
Yeah, I love Julian Station.
And it's in Wynola. So mm-hmm. if people are familiar with Julian, Wynola, if you're coming up the 78th, coming through Ramona, on your way to Julian, mm-hmm. Wynola you get to first.
Right.
And we're a big barn right across from
Fort Cross.
I totally brain farted on the name. I could see the sign in my head. Fort Cross. So we're directly across the street from Fort Cross.
Right. And in Fort Cross, we talked a little bit about Julian Station. And just because you've mentioned it, I'll reiterate it. Julian Hard Cider during COVID put this giant outdoor patio.
Yes.
So there's a ginormous sign that says Julian Hard Cider. And if you see Mom's Pies, that annex location out there, you know you're in the right. area. So
right.
we're going to find you. And what are your hours?
So I'm there definitely Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we open at 11 and we're there till 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. I acclimated to mountain life. So I tend to run a little late. So I'm usually there by 11:30.
Right.
But if I say that I open at 11:30, then I'll usually get there about noon. So I don't want to change that. But always there on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're open till 6 p.m. I have been open on Mondays now from about noon to 5, as we've been kind of in our peak season.
Sure.
And so we'll see how that goes, mm-hmm. and may continue it through the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And Thursdays have kind of been a little hit and miss as we've been trying to get the peak season to kind of get up and running. And
it's been a little bit hit and miss.
Mm-hmm. But I've been doing Thursdays roughly the same schedule as Mondays. So mm-hmm. that would be a noon to 5 or noon to 4.
And Julian Hartsider is open on the day, so that
Julian
help
Hartsider
you
is
the,
open on those yeah, days. And I yeah. tend to stay open the days that Julian Hartsider is open.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Because, I mean, take advantage of it. They're great and well-known, so
right.
and people are going to come visit.
Right.
And quick question. Are you only accessible from inside, or do you have an exterior entrance as well?
I do not have an exterior entrance,
okay.
so you have to come into
inside Julian Station.
For parking, we're one of the few places, maybe with the exception of Fort Cross, that has plenty of parking. No trouble there getting
yeah.
a parking spot.
Yeah.
We've got parking on both sides of the building,
mm-hmm.
Once it goes around to the back a little bit, so. Plenty of ample parking for people.
So with the parking thing, just because of the way I drive, if you miss it either direction, there's another parking lot on the other side of
right.
the building.
Exactly.
Like if you go, oh, there and no, there's another parking lot.
Exactly.
So yeah, so you're covered that way. All right, and then you are on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook, Moonshine Magic.
Mm-hmm. And Instagram?
Instagram, Moonshine Magic Julian.
Okay.
Instagram is where I'm most active.
Okay.
So that's the best place. I post pictures. You know, rocks lend themselves well to Instagram.
Absolutely.
And then I cross-post that over to Facebook. So
right.
it's kind of going to be pretty much the same thing, mm-hmm. but Instagram is where I'm most active.
Okay, cool. And I will, again, in the description of this show, make sure that there is information and links to both of those social media accounts.
Wonderful.
So people can check them out. All right,
Thank
this
you.
Was a great interview.
Yeah.
I totally enjoyed it. Time went by super fast.
Very fast.
Yeah.
What a way to start the morning.
I know, right? Now I feel all invigorated and like I'm going to be all positive energy flowing. Thank you so much.
Thank
I
you.
Totally appreciate it. And maybe we'll interview again when things change and
sure.
seasons change, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
All right. Awesome.
Wonderful. Thank
Say
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.